Turn with us, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. And let's begin reading in verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. When her masters saw the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Does that sound familiar to you? Sounds like some politicians I know. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're all still here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want to thank Brother Glass for reminding me of this event, as he testified and preached a while this evening. I'm glad for the opportunity and the privilege to praise God at the midnight hour. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we ask you to bless the word of God in each of our hearts and lives. Lord, I don't know the problems, the heartaches, the difficulties that folks are going through this evening. Oh, God, but I'm glad that we serve a God that knows everything there is to know about all of us. And I'm glad you're consciously aware of all of our problems and all of our difficulties. You're well aware of our downsittings, our uprisings, our thoughts afar off. You're well acquainted with all our griefs, our sorrows, and our joys. And so, Lord, I pray that you would fill us with the joy of the Lord to strengthen us in this hour, that we might leave this building tonight praising God for the goodness of God and for the mercy of God and for all the grace and the favor of God that you've shown to us, and how that we can comprehend that you love us beyond what we can even imagine, and you do more for us than we can comprehend. I pray, Father, you'd have your will and way in every heart and every life. I can't do the job that needs to be done. Oh, but you can. I pray, God, you might encourage every person here tonight to look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of faith, that we might find in him exactly what we need for today, for tonight, for tomorrow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. praising God at the midnight hour. We can all agree it's fairly easy to praise the Lord when everything's going well. When there's no real problems, and very little illness, no extenuating circumstances, so to speak. But how about when things are not going so well? How about when things are mounding up and you scratch your head and you wonder what you're going to do or how you're going to get it done? How are the bills going to be paid? How are the difficulties going to be met? How are we going to get from one place to another? How are we going to continue to journey on a little farther for Jesus? How's this going to happen, Lord? Amen. If you ain't been there, you will. I don't know about you, but it's not always been real easy for me to find the will of God. It wasn't easy for me to find the will of God that I be saved. Even though I had been preached since 9 months before I was born, that it was the will of God that I be saved. Amen. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I knew that God loved me. I'd been taught from the time I was born that God loved me, that He wanted me, that He wanted to be a part of His family, and that He wanted to bless me, and He wanted to be alive in my soul. I knew that. But when I got lost and undone without God, I was trying to find anything else I could that would keep me from doing what everybody else expected me to do. Amen. But the day I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't know all the things that was going to take place. I did not know all the benefits of the unseen hand of God. I did not know all the ways in which He was going to lead, all the ways He is going to bless, and all the things He was going to provide. I did not comprehend that, did not understand it. And today, many times, I don't understand it. I'm glad He just does. It's not always for me to understand or to comprehend. It's just for me to trust Him anyway. That's what exactly happened to Paul and Silas here in this situation. They were in the middle of the will of God, doing exactly what God would have them to do. They were preaching. They were serving God. They were doing everything that the Holy Ghost would lead them to do. And yet, it wound them up in jail. Beaten in stocks and chains, blood literally running down their backs from the stripes that had been placed upon them, thrown down into the inner prison, down there where there's not nothing but the darkness and the dampness, the rats and the stocks. Couldn't even see their hand in front of their face because of all the things that were going on around about them. And at midnight, they began to praise the Lord and sing songs unto His good name. God inhabits the praise of His people. You can't talk about Him too long before He'll show up. Amen. God inhabits the praise of His people. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's promised He will be in the midst of them. These two old preacher boys are down there. They can't even see each other. They're hurting from all the beating and all the things they've gone through. But yet, they begin to pray and to praise the Lord for giving them the opportunity of suffering for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Are you breathing? Are you still breathing God's good air? If you are, then you ought to have some praise for God about you. There ought to be praise on your lips. There ought to be praise in your heart. There ought to be praise in your life for the good things of God that He's done for you. Amen. I'm glad that I'm not going to hell. Even though I've been told a few times that's where to go. Amen. Some others had wishes that I didn't want. And yet, I'm tagged for glory. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. I know my name's written in the book of life in heaven, and I belong to Him, and He's coming after me, and I get to go with Him to where He would have me to be. We can praise the Lord at the midnight hour. When you praise the Lord at the midnight hour, number one, it recognizes the sovereignty of God. When you begin to praise the Lord when things are not going well, when trouble's mounting up around you, when you don't know what to do, it recognizes that God is still in charge. It recognizes the fact that He's still on the throne in glory. When adversity comes, when difficulty comes, when trouble comes our way, when oppression comes, when the opportunity is given to you to reveal to someone who's watching. And by the way, there's somebody watching. I've learned there's a whole lot more people watching than you think there are. You know, everything for me is kind of getting a long time ago now. I've had people here this evening meaning well, said, I remember watching you on television when I was just a little bitty boy. Yeah. And it's amazing how many pictures are on the internet, how many songs are on the internet, how many different things that people are watching on a regular basis that you don't even know exist. So you got to be careful and recognize the sovereignty of God and recognize the fact that no matter how it looks, He's in charge. When you recognize the sovereignty of God, you'll have a smile of heaven on your soul, and you'll have a smile on your face, and you won't look like somebody's done licked all the red off of your sucker, and that they've already robbed you of all your joy, and they've defeated you just by not agreeing with you. All things still work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The pathway of obedience to God sometimes leads through the valley of suffering. God did not promise us that we would not have to go through the valley of suffering. But what He did promise is, you won't take a step without me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end. You can count on it. I'll be there for you. Recognize the sovereignty of God. The Hebrew boys, they didn't expect to be thrown into a fiery furnace. No, that's not what they expected. They were members of the cabinet. They were highly recognized in the cabinet of the king. And yet they'd made up in their own heart and their own mind that when the Babylonian beast boys began to play, they wasn't going to bend. They wasn't going to bow. And they didn't care if they had to burn. The king got real mad and he said, I'm going to heat that furnace up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. But if you'll just agree, we'll get them boys back together when they start to play. If you'll go along with the crowd, if you'll get in with everybody else, if you won't be such a problem, if you'll lower your standards and compromise a little bit and blend in, God help. That's what the world wants us to do today. They want us to blend in. But God didn't call you to blend in. God called you to stand out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Recognize God's in charge, and you're going to stay with who's in charge. Amen. The Hebrew boy said, King, we don't mean to be hateful or disrespectful. We just want you to know our God's able. We serve the God of all gods, and we just ain't going to bow before anybody else. He's in charge of our lives. We don't have to talk about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to have a committee meeting about it. We just got it in our heart. He's in charge. Our God's able. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, if I'd have been in Silas's place right there that night, I might have said, boy, Paul, you sure got us into a mess this time. But I don't know what Silas had to say. I don't know what Paul was having to say. I've never found a piece of music with their name on anything. But they began to praise the Lord and they began to sing a song. And it might have been something like this. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. My life is worth the living just because he lives. Recognize God's in charge. Praise God anyhow. It's like the old black preacher was headed to get him something to eat. He's a black preacher. Being a preacher, he didn't have much money. And so he was headed to the butcher shop to get him something to eat. And he got in there and he bought some hamburger meat with what little money he had, put it in a brown paper sack, and he started down the sidewalk back to his house to cook him something to eat. Well, about that time, there's a dog come running out from somebody's porch, run down beside of him, grabbed that hamburger meat and took off. The old preacher started to run after him, and he thought, ah. And he waved his hand at him and said, well, praise God anyhow. Glory to God anyway. Somebody over there on the side said, preacher, what are you praising God now for? The dog got you hamburger meat. He said, yeah, but he didn't get my appetite. We ought to have an appetite that recognizes the sovereignty of God and recognize the fact he's still in charge and praise him anyway. Praising God at the midnight hour not only recognizes the sovereignty of God, but praising God at the midnight hour resists Satan. Revival was going on in the streets. Paul and Silas had been preaching and folks was getting saved in the streets. A witch, a sorceress, even came to them and testified, hey, I know who these guys are. They're the real deal. They're telling us the way of salvation. Paul, being grieved with her in her condition, looked at her and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the devil came out of her. After that, she couldn't help them folks on the psychic hotline. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever called that number. I ain't going to do that. Her masters couldn't make any more money off of her. And nothing makes people madder than you go messing with their pocketbook. And so they got real mad and they took Paul and Silas and they drug them before the magistrate and they said, hey, these guys are saying things that we being Romans don't need to hear. This is a strange doctrine to us. Amen. This is a bunch of liberals today that's trying to run everything. Our old-fashioned way of doing things, our serving the true and living God, the one God, they can't understand that. They said we got to blend in. We got to get to a place that we don't be offensive to anybody. God help us. You can't be politically correct and spiritually sound at the same time. Amen. It just don't happen that way. Folks that think somebody else is God and we who know who God is, we can't get along with one another. And there will be some offense along the way. Amen. By the way, do you know the difference between a conservative Muslim and a radical Muslim? Time. That's it. Time. Because the end result is, you don't agree with them, they'll kill you. So it's just time. That's it. So we who love the Lord Jesus Christ are trying to love them to him. Paul and Silas wanted to love them to Jesus. They were preaching Christ to them. making them to know that the only way they're going to be free, the only way they could have life, the only way they could have joy and peace, and the only way they could live forever is to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. That sorceress got saved by the grace of God. She couldn't do what she used to do. Now these men got mad because they couldn't make any more money off of her. And so they got politically, they wanted political correctness done. They brought them in and they stripped their clothes off of them, beat them down to a pulp, and they took them to the magistrate. They said, throw them in the prison. The devil thought, I've got that revival shut down. Them old boys will be quiet now. Got down there at midnight, started singing and praising God, and the Bible said the prisoners heard it. But more importantly, God heard it. The revival went from the street into the prison. It changed locations because God moved his preacher boys. Amen. Praising God at the midnight hour will resist the devil. The devil thought he had it stomped out when he got him put in chains. It's amazing how many people today are still in chains. Chains of doubt. Chains of confusion, chains of emotion, chains of logic. Duh. Chains of education. Chains of our petty sins. Well, that really don't matter. To who? No, it don't matter to the devil, but it matters to God. The devil can't stand around where people are praising the Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You do that by praising the Lord, no matter what the circumstances are at the midnight hour. Praising God at the midnight hour also will release the Spirit of God. As they began to praise the Lord, the devil heard it, the other prisoners heard it, God heard it. The Holy Ghost moved in close to inhabit the praise of his old preacher boys. The Holy Ghost moved in close. God bent his ear right down next to that prison so he could hear them boys and hear well what they were singing and how their heart was tuned to him. Next thing you know, the jail began to rock. The foundations began to shut down. The doors fell off their hinges and the chains fell off. Amen. God knew how to make the jailhouse rock a long time before Elvis did. Amen. And everybody is loose and they get out of their chain and they get out of their jail and they come and they're standing outside. They were released in the Spirit of God. But notice, the jailer come running out. He saw all those that had been going on and all the things that was taking place, and he realized that if one of them fellas had left, just one of them had left, it meant his life. So he drew out his knife, and he was going to go ahead and take his life because he knew they was going to kill him anyway. The preacher, Paul, said, "Do yourself no harm. We're all still here." Ain't that the way it is? I know that's not good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't that the way it is when somebody truly gets saved by the grace of God? When God moves in, somebody gets born again, they don't run back out into the world. They don't try to get away from what they just got into. They want to get in on it. Somebody really gets saved by the grace of God, it makes the difference in their heart that the next time the doors are open, they want to be in there too. The next time church service is going to happen, they want to be a part of it. The next time there's a Bible study, the next time somebody's singing, the next time somebody's praying, they want to be in on it. These old boys are standing around. They've seen God come by. They felt the power of God shaking the foundations of the thing loose. Felt God move in their midst, and they're just standing around waiting to see what he's going to do next. Do yourself no harm. Praising God at the midnight hour will redeem the lost sinner. The worst of the worst was in that jail, but none of them any worse than the jailer. He comes and falls down before them two preacher boys and says, "Boys, evidently you know somebody I don't know. It's evident that you have a relationship. There's something happened to you that ain't never happened to me. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want to know what you know. I want to feel like you feel. I want to get what you've got. Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Praising God at the midnight hour will redeem the lost sinner. Because they'll see something about you that they don't have themselves. Several years ago now at Inspiration Park, we'd been singing for a while, and the Spirit of God began to move, and the Holy Ghost touched me and gave me a little testimony about four sentences. I don't even remember what I said, but I know it wasn't very long. We went back to singing. We got done. I came off the stage and I headed across the field over there to the concession stand in that area. And there's a man standing there by an old 55-gallon barrel. And as I came by, he said, "Hey, I need to talk to you." "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm a merchant marine. I've been around the world. I've seen everything that I thought there was to see, and I've been everywhere there is to go, and I thought I'd done everything there is to do. But he said, a while ago, while you was a-talking, there's a big old hole up and up inside of me, and I realize you've been somewhere I ain't been. You know somebody I don't know. There's something happened to you that I've not experienced. I want to know, how do I get what you've got?" I said, "Well, first off, you have to understand you can't have what I got. But I can point you to one that's got a fresh supply with your name on it. I'm glad he saves even to the uttermost. All will come unto God by him. He's willing to save whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." I said, "His name is Jesus. If you'll talk to him, if you'll pray to him, if you'll ask him, he'll save even you." That old merchant marine knelt there beside that old 55-gallon barrel and began to call on God. I didn't try to tell him what to say. I was kind of interested in what he would say. He asked God to have mercy on him. He asked God to come into his heart. He said, "Lord, I need you." One long day he stood to his feet and tears are trickling down his face. He reached to grab me around the neck and he said, "I know what you're talking about now." Praising God at the midnight hour releases the Spirit of God and it helps the lost sinner to see something in you that they don't have. That wasn't the end of the story. The jailer got saved, but he asked Paul and Silas to go to his house. He was the one that had put the stripes and put the beating on them, but now he took them to his house, and he began to bandage up, and he began to treat them real nice, and he said, "I want you to tell them what you've told me. I want you to explain it to them like you explained it to me. I want them to experience the same thing I've experienced. I want them to get saved too." There their whole house got saved. And instead of waiting a month or 2 months or a year to get baptized, they all went that night down to the place and went in and got baptized, come back to the house of God and sat down and praised the Lord all the rest of the night because all of them got saved by the grace of God. And now they were identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praising God at the midnight hour do you good. Amen. Praising God at the midnight hour will help you and it'll help those around about you. I walked into the hospital room of my grandmother. Mama, we called her. She'd had a heart attack. She's 91 years old. I walked into that ICU unit and walked over beside her bed. She was very weak. She was kind of in and out, in and out. I just stood there and held her hand and thought about how wonderful it had been to have her as one of my spiritual heroes. Amen. See, she was that kind of Christian that you couldn't talk to her more than 5 minutes before she'd tell you something good about the Lord or what he'd done for her. Or something he had spoken to her from the Word of God. When she looked up at me and those big old eyes batted at me, she said, "Son, what in the world are you doing here?" I said, "Well, Mama, I heard you had a little problem with your heart, but I came down here to see how you was treating the doctors." She looked up at me and smiled, and I reached down and hugged her, and she looked back up at me and she said, "Son, do you know I pray for you every day?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. I know that you do, because I felt the result of those prayers. When that unseen hand of God moved at your request in my behalf." What a blessing she was, even to the nurses in the hospital room while she was leaving this world. Amen. She was fixing to get promoted home to glory, but when they would come in, she'd grin at them and say, "God bless you." No matter what the circumstances may be, you begin to praise God and to count your blessings, and somebody around will take notice of it. And they'll get curious. And a wonder will grow. And they will begin to understand you have something that's real.
That's it right there.
How long has it been since you just praise God anyhow? How long has it been since you walked down through Walmart singing, "Blessed be his name. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." How long has it been since you walked through the place where you work, giving God glory for that you've got a job, that you've got a future in the Lord Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you went to school with the joy of heaven on your heart so real that others could be able to see how real God is to you? Well, I know we've all heard the bad reports. We've all heard the bad things that are coming. We've all heard the liberal media and all their bad stuff they're talking about. Last year, 2016, it was amazing how many folks was wringing their hands, wondering what in the world is going to do. Amen. A lot of places I went to, the older folks especially, is to stay and, "Preacher, what are we going to do? I've heard that they're going to get rid of my Social Security. What am I going to do? I can't pay my insurance, preacher. What am I going to do?" My question to them was, "How did you get to where you are now? Who brought you this far? Who's got you to here? He's no less God today than he was yesterday. He'll be no less God tomorrow than he was today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and changeth not. I can depend on the fact that if tomorrow don't come, he already knows it." Amen. It's time we praise the Lord, even at the midnight hour. Preacher.